Yasman nodvidite loko lokan nodvidite cha yaha harsham varsha payod vegar muktoya satchame priyaha. In this 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes the admirable qualities of a devotee. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvagunais tatra samasate sura. The Krishna consciousness is so nice that anyone who becomes Krishna conscious develops all the good qualities. Srila Prabhupada once summarized this by saying that the sign of a Krishna conscious person is that he's a perfect gentleman. All the good qualities are found in him as a result of devotional service. He doesn't have to separately try to become good. He just has to be fully engaged in Krishna's service, and the good qualities will automatically develop. So in this, the second half of this 12th chapter, Lord Krishna describes some of those qualities. And here, Yasman nodvijate loko lokan nodvijate shayaha. He never acts in such a way as to put others in anxiety. Udvijita means to agitate. He doesn't
try to. Yes.
He doesn't act in such a way as to agitate others. In
materialistic
life, sometimes we do things just for the pleasure of putting others into distress. If we can get back at someone, if we can make someone, the expression in American English is stick it in his eye. If we can cause some trouble for someone, then that's an opportunity for us. We see this in children. The children enjoy teasing other children. Okay. So when the other child begins to cry, or the other child becomes mad, becomes angry, then the first child is happy. And this same propensity is found in adults also. If they can cause trouble for others, or sometimes cause outright misery for others, then they enjoy that. Apart from outright misery, which is severe, just if we can cause anxiety for others, we become happy. And but a devotee doesn't cause anxiety for anyone. He's kind even to the ant, and what to speak of the human beings. He sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. And he sees everyone as he would see himself, atmavat sarvabhuteshu. Atmopamyena sarvatra, in the Bhagavad Gita. Sukamba yadiva dukkam. The Krishna conscious person sees others by comparison to his own self. He thinks, I wouldn't want to be squeezed. Why should I squeeze him? I wouldn't want to be put into distress. Why should I want to put others in distress? Yes, I would like to be happy, so why should I not want others to be happy? Atmopam yena sarvatra. By comparison to his own self. Atmasva Atbhavat Sarvabhuteshu. Sarvabhuteshu, and not only the human beings, the philanthropic, humanistic, goody-goody people feel very good about extending a helping hand to other human beings at the same time that they're gorging themselves on the dead bodies of animals, for which they create untold suffering. And they somehow see that the human beings are my brothers and the animals are my food. Although even there they're selective, they would recoil in horror at the thought that their dog would be cut up as food, or their cat would be cut up as food. But for other animals, therefore we see, I attended some gathering of animal lovers, and all their love was directed toward cats and dogs. And the love was overflowing for their cats and dogs. But for other animals, they couldn't care less. So it wasn't sarvabhuteshu. They didn't see all other living entities equally. Pandita Samadarshana, a learned person, sees all living entities with equal vision. But when our love is based on the body and bodily considerations, then I love my family, but I hate your family. Or I love my little doggy, but I have no care about the chickens and the cows and the fish and so on. Because it's based on concocted bodily ideas. This is good and this is bad. Arava bhaktasya kuto mahatguna. Manoratena sati dhavatobihi. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says that those who are not Krishna conscious have no good qualities. Their good qualities are constructed by their busy minds, which are rolling on in some area of mental concoction. And when the mental concoction is nice, then we say that they're good people. And when their mental concoction goes the other way, we say that they're bad people. But E balo e mande sab brahma. Kaviraj Goswami says, your good and bad is all rubbish, because you're neglecting your real business, Krishna. And because you're neglecting Krishna, everything else is wrongly positioned. Everything else is wrongly positioned. So, atmavad sarvabhuteshu. The devotee acts in such a way that he doesn't want to put even an ant into anxiety. And what to speak of a human being or a bigger animal. I remember I had a childhood friend who showed me one of his pleasures. He would take a little magnifying glass, he would catch some little fish, you know, those that are this big, and he would put them on the land, and he would take a magnifying glass and train the light on them until their bodies exploded. And he would enjoy, like Magari the hunter, taking pleasure in half-killing the animals. Or our callous, mundane scientists will just perform experiment after experiment after experiment on, after experiment on animals, killing them all with no real need. Because they don't think that this animal is also like me. It's just a thing for their work. So a Krishna conscious person doesn't act in such a way as to put anyone in anxiety, nor is he put into anxiety by anyone else. He's not agitated by others. tatrako mahakashope ekatvam anupashitaha. Because he sees through the eyes of scripture, because he has spiritual vision, there's no question of illusion or anxiety for him. Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmayabhut vijanataha. Tatrako mahakashoka ekatvam anupashitaha. So he's not put into, he's not agitated by others, because he sees on the spiritual platform. You may call me this or you may call me that, but I'm not this body. I'm the spirit soul within the body. So what do I care what you call me? Or for the advanced devotee like Haridas Thakur, you can beat me nearly to death, but I'm not this body. How glorious the qualities are of the great devotees. Yam labdva cha pramlava manyate nadikam kataha yasmin stato nadukkena guruna pi vichalyate. In the Bhagavad Gita, the devotee, having achieved the devotional service of Krishna and experiencing transcendental pleasure by devotional service, isn't deviated even by the most heavy miseries. Yasmin stato dukena gurunapi vichalite. The person who's not firmly fixed, but when there's some trouble or there's some misery, oh, I'm out of here. Forget this, I'm going to give it up, it's too troublesome. But one who's situated in devotional service at the lotus feet of Krishna isn't overwhelmed even by the greatest miseries of this material world. Yasmin stato nadukena gurunapi vichal. Harsha Marsha Bhayod Vegar Mukta. The devotee is freed from Harsha. Harsha means happiness. Everyone is pursuing happiness. Do this and be happy. Do that and be happy. Do this and enjoy. Do that and enjoy. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. But the, and when they get something for happiness, then they go, they get, they float in happiness. Because they got good marks in their exam, or because someone has agreed to be their girlfriend, or whatever it is, they won the lottery, and they could become carried away. But for a devotee, even the happiness found in, on the planets of Indra or Brahma is insignificant. Vishram Purna Sukhayate, the whole world is a place of happiness for him. It doesn't matter, the heavenly planets, the hellish planets. Because his happiness is not coming from the touch of the senses with the sense objects. That's supposed to be happiness when our senses latch on to what they've been hankering for. But Krishna says, Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkha yoni evate. That happiness is the breeding ground for misery. Because I become attached to that happiness which comes from the body and the bodily senses. I'm binding myself to miseries because happiness doesn't last. And I'm binding myself to repeated birth and death, which means more misery. So when one is carried away by happiness and we think he's so fortunate, he's just landing himself in trouble. It's just another phase of trouble. Misery is misery, and happiness is future misery. So,
Harsha. And
Amarsha means distress. When the materialists are, when they lose what they wanted, or when their expectations are thwarted, or when catastrophes occur, then they're just plunged into distress. Happiness, distress, and bhaya means fear. The materialistic life means we're always like the birds. Prabhupada gave the example. The bird is eating, and while it's eating, it's looking. Right? He's always in fear. And the human beings are also in so many fears, big fears. The whole world is afraid that, even though Osama bin Laden is gone, Al-Qaeda is still there. Who knows what they might be bringing on the airplane? The terrorists might come and attack my favorite Bhel Puri stand at Chowpatty Beach. There's terror and terror and terror and terror. And big terror is like fear of terrorists or war invasions by foreign countries, fear of stock market collapses and the plunging economy, fear of bad breath. And everything in between, millions and millions of fears. Chintam apadameyam cha palayantam apashrita, the Bhagavad Gita. Anxieties upon anxieties. Aparameya means you can't even count them or measure them. So many anxieties. Palayantam apashrita, up to the point of death. But tatrako mahakashoka. Ekatam manapashita, for one who sees everything in connection with Krishna, there's no fear. Bhayam dutiya vinibeshita syat. In the Bhagavatam it said that fear comes from thinking that there's two things. There's really only one thing. There's only Krishna. Vasudeva sarvamiti. There's nothing in existence outside of Krishna. There's no independent agent. There's no devil who's, the opposition party, and Krishna doesn't quite know what to do with him. Prasya shakti vidhadaiva shruyate svabhava gikana palakriyatra. Everything is working under Krishna's direction. Maya jakshena prakriti suyate satrahatra. So for a devotee, there's nothing, there's no second force. There's only Krishna. And Krishna is acting through his different energies. Maya is certainly fearful. But maam eva ye prapadyante maya me tantanati. If I surrender to Krishna, then maya will be out. So for one who's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, there's no fear. Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not afraid of this material my father, or my this, that. And he wasn't even afraid of Lord Nrsingadev, who was so fearful. But the only fear is that we may forget Krishna. That's a legitimate fear. One time Srila Prabhupada said, the trouble with my devotees is they're not sufficiently afraid of Maya. Well, that fear we should have. But we should be confident also that as long as I surrender to Krishna, then Krishna will protect me. So Krishna says, for my devotee who has these qualities, Samepriya, he's very dear to. These are only some of the qualities of a devotee. In this chapter, Krishna lists many. But this summary is that a devotee of Krishna is an ideal person because he sees Krishna in everyone and everyone within Krishna. Yomam pashyati sarvacha sarvamcha mayi pashyati tasyaham na pranashami sachame na pranashati. For the devotee who sees everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything, Krishna's never lost, and he's never lost to Krishna. There's an intimate relationship always between Krishna and his devotees, and therefore our goal is to become devotees and to become dear to Krishna and be always engaged in service at his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Do we have a microphone?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for your class. Maharaj, you were mentioning about this verse, Esyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana. You are mentioning this verse, Esyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana. So, a devotee develops automatically all the good qualities. I had this doubt that sometimes even after many years of practice of devotional service, we don't have the good qualities which many of the materialistic people may display, like humility or respecting others. And we may be disrespectful and we may be the lower modes, we may be influenced by the lower modes always. So is it that the good qualities automatically develop, or do we have to actually endeavor? And
they do automatically develop. We have to endeavor to be Krishna conscious. If these qualities are, what is it there? Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobhadayas priye chaitai tairanaditam stitam sattve prasidati. If we don't see these qualities developing within ourselves, then we can ask ourselves, how seriously am I following the process? If I'm still affected by anger, fear, greed, then am I following the process strictly? One can ask him. So just like Vyasadeva, he was feeling despondency. And he was asking himself, why am I despondent? I've written Mahabharata, I've compiled the Vedas, I've written the Puranas, I've explained so many things, and I'm not feeling satisfied. Something must be wrong. Something must be wrong. So by introspection, he understood something must be wrong. And he guessed that it might be that I haven't directly glorified Krishna. And his guru Maharaj Narada Muni told him, yes, you haven't glorified Krishna. You've just talked all this dharmartha kama moksha stuff. And you've beat around the bush, as they say. You haven't gone directly to the point. So now, glorify Krishna. So if we seriously follow the process, then these good qualities will develop. And if we see these good qualities in a materialistic person, we can consider them superficial because they're based upon some relative consideration, and relative considerations can change at any moment. Just like Kamsa, he was such a nice guy, you know, personally driving the chariot to, out of affection for his sister, bring them to their, her to the new home. And all it took was a voice from the sky, and the next thing, he's ready to slit her throat. We see this sometimes between brothers and sisters. They're so affectionate toward one another, and then the parents die and there's an inheritance. You know the rest of the story. Or these people who are cultured. I mean, you can meet people who are enormously cultured, well-spoken, well-educated, articulate, brilliant, and they're demons. They're thinking about how to murder people, how to manipulate things in such a way that they can squeeze money out of others ruthlessly, how they can exploit the resources of the world for their own sense gratification. But when you meet with them, they're polite, they're intelligent, they listen, they're considerate. But it's all superficial, you know. They're polite, they're considerate, they're well dressed, they're well spoken, they have good manners, and they're running the local mafia. So harava bhaktasya kuto mahaguna. If a person's not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's an outlaw, he's a criminal. He may be a polite criminal, he may be a humble criminal, he may be...
Hare Krishna. Can I ask one more question, please? Maharaj, we have heard Prabhupada say many times that Krishna consciousness has the solution for all problems. And in some interviews he has said that we can solve crime, problems of politics, problems of child delinquency, etc. And at the same time, we also, while discussing, we tell devotee people that we have to transcend problems, you know. These problems, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, we cannot solve the problems of the material world. So how do we reconcile these two?
As far as the problems are solvable, they're solvable by Krishna consciousness. You can't turn the material world into utopia. The expression in English is, you can't make a silk purse of a sow's ear. You can't take a pig's ear and turn it into a silk purse. But the material world is not a sukhalaya, shashvata sukhalaya. As far as possible, the thing is, we've made it worse than it needs to be. There's some rules to be followed, some principles. There's actually a purpose to human society. Samsiddhi haditoshanam, the purpose of human life, the purpose of society should be to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we follow that path, then as far as possible we'll be happy in this world and in the next. And as far as possible there'll be cooperation and goodwill among those who live on earth. Or even the demigods will be cooperative. But when we ignore Krishna's directions, when we just take everything into our own hands and try and do everything for our own sense gratification, then we make it worse. It's bad enough to be, just like being in prison, it's bad. But if you cooperate, if you're a good prisoner and so on, then as far as possible, you keep all your privileges and, you know, the guards will be nice to you and so on. But if you become vicious and you're defiant and arrogant at every step and always trying to do something against the rules, then you're going to get it worse. And that's individually, collectively. So individually and collectively, we're ignoring Krishna's directions and trying to be happy by our own concocted methods. And that results in individual and collective suffering. So the world is already a place of suffering, but we make it a place of more suffering. If we become Krishna conscious, still some suffering has to be there. We still have these bodies. But as far as possible, we can have an ideal kind of life. Something else?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, you said if we don't develop those good qualities within us, despite following Krishna consciousness for several years, then we have to ask ourselves whether I am doing the practices properly. Is it that, or should I just carry on regardless, even though those qualities are not developing in me? I have to simply carry
on. Why should
on?
We be regardless? If I'm seeing some sign that indicative of shortage of Krishna consciousness, why should I be regardless? Of course, alright, I can, either way, I can say, well, anyway, these qualities are there within me, that's just the way I am, what can I do? Let me serve Krishna. That's good. Or you can look and say, these qualities are still there, I must not be making very much progress, I have to be more serious. That's good. Either way, if you come to the conclusion that I have to serve Krishna, then it's alright.
Prabhuji, how am I supposed to get find my spiritual master?
How are we supposed to find a spiritual master? First thing, of course, is to look. There are those who are not interested in having a spiritual master, or they're interested for the wrong reasons. They want a spiritual master who'll smile and pat their baby on the head. But not someone who'll instruct them in the science of Krishna. So the first thing is to sincerely have that desire. And Srila Prabhupada gives the hint in many of his books that if we're looking, that spiritual master means a devotee of Krishna, pure devotee of Krishna. So if we want to find a bona fide spiritual master, then we should look in the association of devotees. It's like we're looking for cloth, we'll look in the cloth market, not in the vegetable market. So we should place ourselves in the association of devotees, and in that association seek a qualified person. And at the same time read the books and understand what a qualified person is, what the qualities are of a qualified person. Is that okay? And depend on Krishna to help us.
Raja, talking about the fear that is which you are speaking, right now you might be knowing it, all over the world there is a lots of problems going on amongst many countries, specifically US and Europe, and due to that reason that's an immense fear amongst Indian population also. That's lots of big inflation going up.
Lots of
inflation Indian inflation is increasing. It is around more than 10% right now. It is going in double digit. It is continuously going up itself. Specifically, the food inflation is also very high. The necessities of the items are being increased so much that almost all the necessity items are almost double the rate. Now, we know it. The difficulties are going to come. We are in Dukhalayam, definitely. But our devotees, specifically those sincere family devotees, Grahasthas, they are finding it extremely difficult to maintain both the ends meet, because the expenses have really increased only on necessity items. Now they cannot band, even if they wanted to have a simple living, but the necessities increases, naturally the expenses increases, and expenses increases, naturally they have to stretch themselves more, and they have to work hard for that, and they have to sacrifice Krishna consciousness to some extent to that consideration. In that circumstances, what Maharaj, we have to think and how we can reconcile to see that our Krishna consciousness remains priority and we don't get carried away with those things and make our Krishna consciousness always focused.
There are various ways that one can approach this. One is we can always look at one's necessities and cut them. What we think is necessary and what's actually necessary usually has a large gap between the two. So cutting and cutting more. Just like my godbrother, Bijapurna Maharaj, Bhakti Bijapurna Maharaj, those who know him know he travels with a little bag about this big. And that's, you know, travels all around the world with that much. And I asked him, how is it possible you're traveling with that, such a small... He said, I was traveling, and every trip I took, I just looked to see if there was something I didn't use that trip. And the next trip, I left it behind. And he finally got it down to this much. So there's so many things that we consider necessary, which may not be necessary. And it's easier to cut expenses than to boost income. So that's one thing one can do. That I'm living on the minimum, and can I cut my minimum in half? That's one approach. Another approach is sannyas. I've done this for so many years. At an appropriate age, one can ask oneself, you know, why am I just doing this and doing this and doing this? Is this my business in life? And just cash it in. Forget it. Another answer is that our expenses are high because we're living in the city. And we talk about necessities. Is it a necessity to live in Bombay? Is that essential to human life? Could there be life without Bombay? I have, just as an example, I have one, a disciple of one of my godbrothers who's in business, very successful in business, actually. He's in the record business, and the center of the record business is New York City. But he, although he had his whole thing in New York City, he thought about it and moved about 2 hours north. And 2 hours north means that instead of living in the midst of all this, the American equivalent of Bombay, he's living by the side of the river in quiet, you know, among the cornfields and the that sort of thing. In a big house that costs probably one-eighth of what he would pay for a place half the size in New York City. His employees are all happy to move there because their expenses have gone down by a huge amount. They don't worry about security, they don't worry about this, they don't worry about that, because it's peaceful life. As soon as you're in the city, then everything's passion, passion, passion. And what's the result of passion? Misery. Rajasastu palam dukkham. So one answer is to move out of the city. Move to someplace quiet and peaceful. Our farm communities are meant for that. But even suppose I say, well, I'm not a farmer, I can't. All right, then think about living someplace quiet and peaceful and cheap. Bombay is out, it's over the top. It's not that we all have to live here. And another thought is that one can simply depend on Krishna. And all right, sometimes things go up, sometimes things go down, but I'll depend on Krishna and carry on. Prabhupada mentioned that during that artificial famine created by the British in Calcutta during wartime, and rice just overnight went 10 times higher, and everybody was in trouble. But he saw that the Vaishnavas, somehow or other, they were getting everything they needed. So if we remain engaged in the service of Krishna, nitya yukta vyuktana yoga kshema bahamya, Krishna will provide.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, I fully agree that staying in Bombay is extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt the real estate...
Couldn't disagree with that.
Yeah. It's a fact, Maharaj, because the real estate prices have increased so much that if you don't stay in Bombay and if you go away from Bombay, the expenses will be definitely reducing substantially. There is no doubt about it.
Mm.
But that being a devotee, that in the core of the heart, that fear is there, that if you go away from the association of devotees, specifically...
Create more association. Prabhupada went to America, where there were zero devotees. And I'm worried, you know, if I go to some place 30 miles away from Bombay, then start your own. It's not that that unless we're all packed up here together, things won't go on. I was just with one of our devotees. He's not from the Chaupati congregation, he's from our Dubai congregation. Dubai is similar to Chaupati in some ways, that they have a very vibrant and very active congregation of devotees. There's always something going on and big programs and so on. And his company shifted and he wound up in Cairo. No, Ismailia, which is near Suez. And he said, you know, I'm missing the association of devotees and And I gave him the same advice, just start again. There are people here who are receptive, there's everything. Just do what you were doing there. But now instead of being the follower, you have to be the leader. And that's how Krishna consciousness grows. Imagine if we dispersed everyone. You know, we left 5 or 10 people here at Chaupati. And everybody went out to a different corner and went on with their life and started up something Krishna conscious. And how nice it would be. Our Raghunath Prabhu was in Amritsar. He went there. There was kind of not very much going on at all. And since I've been visiting him, it's, you know, fantastic. A devotee can go anywhere. Sit down, Prabhupada sat down under a tree, chanted Hare Krishna, and the rest is history. There's lots of trees in this world. Okay. Or go. Two families. You know, you don't have any association? All right, two families. That's good enough. Actually, well, probably it was one person. That was enough. But if you think, no, I have no association. Two families. Good? Or wherever the microphone goes is fine.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we are in a stage here when Krishna consciousness is spreading, people are accepting Krishna consciousness. So when we preach, sometimes we are told that don't directly criticize what people are doing. You know, present Krishna consciousness as one of the options, not as the only option. So what's your opinion on this? To wrap it
up. Of course, everything is according to the time and the place and the circumstances. So there may be some place where we say, you know, you have so many options and this is one of your options. That's all right. Everything depends upon the time and the place. Personally, I like telling them that all their alternatives are trash. We saw Srila Prabhupada being quite negative about material prospects, alternative spiritual prospects, just about everything. Humanitarianism, philanthropy, science, love, just about everything. Without Krishna consciousness, everything is a failure. That's Prabhupada's philosophy. Now, how you present that, you can consider. Shall we stop here? Okay. The microphone will find you.
Eating onion, garlic, drinking tea, coffee, so all these things, then not observing Ekadashi fast or not chanting the 16 rounds. When I come in this sampradaya, any new devotee, and when they say, but they follow the four principles. Means no illicit sex, no gambling, no meeting, no meat eating, no intoxication, and they are chanting the 4 rounds, 8 rounds, but not 16 rounds, and they want Guru Diksha, but due to some reasons they are not getting, due to their internal because they drink tea, coffee and all such things, so but eventually death comes to them. So whether they get liberation or whether they go to home, back to Godhead, because on them that sanskar is there, of Krishna consciousness, means they know this sanskar of Krishna consciousness, whether now if I will meet my death following in this sampradaya, but I will meet my eventual death, so whether I will be going home, back to Godhead, but I have not accepted Guru in this.
It's not such an easy thing that I'm a Krishna fan, so I'll go back to Godhead. I've been in this material world since time immemorial. Birth after birth. And now because I've born in a good family and I like Krishna, I'll go back to Godhead. It's not such an easy thing. Not such an easy thing. Anything in the material world, suppose you take that attitude toward your university exams. No one thinks that way. In terms of their business, they're looking after every penny. In terms of their university exams, they're studying and studying and studying and studying. In terms of their love life, they're, full on. And then Krishna consciousness, I'll sort of sit back, read Bhagavad Gita now and then, chant a few rounds and go back to Godhead. Therefore, he needs a guru. He needs a guru because he doesn't, he's thinking it's a real easy thing. He doesn't understand what it is, what the science is. Tad vigyanartam sagurum eva abhigacchet. If one is serious about getting the actual value out of the thing, vigyanartam, vigyan means realization. If I have realization, why do I have to stop at three rounds, four rounds to say, well, that's my quota, and I'll go back to Godhead, you know, depending on Krishna for the rest. And, you know, I'll drink a little coffee, a little tea, and I'll chant Hare Krishna, and everything's fine. If one actually wants to get the real thing, artha, the real benefit, the real value, if I want to realize the value, then I must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, we have seen the at very early age, yourself have dedicated your life to Srila Prabhupada. That time Srila Prabhupada was not, his identity was not revealed to the world. What made you, at very early age, you have offered yourself to mission of Srila Prabhupada, and that time everyone is like thinking of making career or something
else? I just got lucky, that's all. Radhanath Maharaj quoted one devotee, who was it? He said, I'm just a mercy case. Said that about himself. There are a lot of us mercy cases. You get the mercy of a devotee, then your whole life can change.
Thank you, Maharaj.
The lady over here has a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada says every time that to understand Bhagavad Gita, to understand the message of Krishna, you need to be a devotee of Krishna. You cannot understand it from the material point of view. But my question is, unless and until you understand the thing, understand the concept, how can you become a devotee before that?
Yes, you read Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, one who's reading this book is... who's studying this book is worshipping me by his intelligence. So if we read Bhagavad Gita as it is, if we study the book adulterated by someone's speculations, then that's another thing. But if we read Bhagavad Gita as it is, study it using our intelligence, then we're worshipping Krishna already. And by going on reading Bhagavad Gita, especially in the association of devotees, trying to understand, then we'll become devotees also. It's not just on or off. You know, flick a switch, I'm not a devotee, okay, now I'm a devotee. There's a process. If he follows the process, then everything will come. Okay? All right, I think we can stop here. Yes? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. You're late.